Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Field Pass. This is Dan, and we have Mikey Dudek back with us, as well as John Bayless, to talk a little bit about the Illini and their matchup this weekend against the Conference USA UTSA Roadrunners. I mean, let's just address the elephant in the room. There's no way we can lose to a Roadrunner, right?
No. I don't even know that this school existed, you know, before we were playing in them. So hopefully it's a cakewalk. But at the same time, I hope we don't overlook them, because I know it's a new coach and everything, but we saw what happened to us last year against Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, I feel like this is a classic trap spot, in the sense of you've got that Power 5 opponent coming up next week, and you just came off a pretty big win in Nebraska. So you're liable to be like, oh, UTSA, you know, yeah, they won 7-5 last year, but is that really, you know, replicable for them? Who knows? So we'll just have to see. But I don't think, the one thing that I do love about this staff is I don't think that they're the type to let that kind of mentality set in. I think Bielema is going to be all over in terms of, you know, getting the guys focused and mentally prepared for Saturday's goings on.
Yeah, I mean, UTSA, all the talk is their quarterback, Frank Harris, as well as their running back, Sincere McCormick, who I believe was second in the nation last year in rushing to Iowa State's running back, who I think played an extra game. So he had the extra game in his belt. But I think Sincere McCormick is going to be probably a huge factor for the boys tomorrow. So it's going to come down, I think, to the Illinois defense on the front lines trying to get a good push off the line of scrimmage and get in the backfield early to kind of keep similar pressure on Frank Harris that they had on Adrian Martinez last week. So that's really what I'm going to be focused on watching the game.
Yeah, I'm, you know, just setting the tone early. You know, Dan, like you mentioned, our defense is going to have to put pressure, you know, on both the quarterback and the running back. But what we don't want to do is find ourselves down, you know, 14, 17, nothing early on, because then at that point, you know, a team like UTSA who's coming in here, and I'm sure their coach is preaching to them, you know, that no one thinks you can go in and beat a Big Ten team. No one's believing in you. John, you mentioned the trap game. You know, the coach is probably saying they're looking forward to playing Virginia next week. So I hope we come out, set the tone early, you know, knock them in the mouth and just, you know, pedal to the floor the entire game.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how they attack the game plan, especially on defense, because to be quite honest, it's the offense that UTSA runs is kind of it can be similar to Nebraska, in the sense that Frank Harris is you're gonna have to make him beat you with his arm, because he's a very astute runner, and as Danny mentioned, you know, Sincere McCormick is a leading returner in terms of production at the running back position. So it's one of those where I think the game plan on defense is going to be much of the same, in terms of, you know, man coverage on the outside. You're going to have some contain or, you know, QB spies with the linebackers. Even the defensive linemen are going to, you know, keep contain on the edges so that Frank Harris doesn't break free. And yeah, I think that's, you know, if there's going to be some wrinkles. I'm sure Ryan Walters has been in the film room, you know, seeing what deficiencies there were for the Illini defense and figuring out what he has to adjust. But I think it's going to be much of the same, to be quite honest, from what we saw last Saturday.
Mikey, let me ask you this. What's the mentality when you're playing a kind of non-Power 5 school early in the season? Like, I know everyone says, oh, you know, don't take these guys for granted. When you were playing, is there a sense of that in the locker room, or do players really look past a school that's not necessarily a Power 5 team that you're expecting much from?
You know, in my experience, it didn't change, you know, when we were playing the, you know, non-Power 5 opponent. If anything, I felt like, you know, the guys were more excited to play versus like an Ohio State game week when, you know, to be quite honest, or even any, you know, top team, you know, there are guys in the locker room that don't believe that you can win deep down, and that kills teams. But, you know, when I had a bunch of non-conference games that ended up being very close, so you got to make sure that, you know, you go out there and, you know, thankfully we won all of them. But
a couple clutch punt returns late in the game, maybe sealed one of them.
Yeah, but no, you like, these are games you need to win, you know, not only for this season, but, you know, for the program going forward. You can't be, you know, the team that goes out. And I mean, even if we win by one, you know, I want to see us really blow them out, you know, knock them in the face and just put up, you know, 50 and keep it rolling.
Yeah. And I don't think this is your typical non-Power 5 team. I think, you know, the rumblings are that they're a very good team. And I mean, just look at the Vegas line where Illinois is only a 5-point favorite in the game. So I don't think this is like Charlotte, who we're going to see later in the year, that's not supposed to be very good at all. This is probably going to be a test. So this might not be the game where everyone's, you know, coasting through the motions, but I was just curious your take on that.
Not to spit in the face of like everything that we were just saying, but I am kind of excited to see if there is the potential for, let's say, not say a blowout, but, you know, a multi-score lead. I'm excited to see if they get, you know, some freshmen, some run. I know Bielema mentioned that in his press conference this week, that maybe you'll see some freshmen get some action, and I'm interested to see who gets some run. You know, there is some, I don't think anyone's going to be playing at linebacker, even though there is, you know, the injury to CJ Hart there. And there wasn't really much else in terms of, obviously, Brandon Peters going down, but maybe you'll see with how heavy they rotated the offensive linemen, maybe you'd see a situation where they're trying to get guys some reps to see, you know, who can handle that college level experience.
Bielema did have some good news in his press conference previewing the matchup. He did say Brandon Peters was throwing some balls in practice, so that's great to hear after what looked to be a pretty bad injury. So that's encouraging if that news is in fact true. And then when he was talking about the quarterbacks, I thought it was kind of funny that he mentioned Isaiah Williams as a guy who might, with a full week of practice, have a chance to get in the backfield. And I don't know if there's any legitimacy to that, or if that's, you know, just some gamesmanship, try to throw a wrinkle in UTSA's potential game planning. But that was something that I'm curious if they might reintroduce the Isaiah Williams short yardage package where he comes in there just to throw them a wrinkle. So I don't really know what to make of it, but I just found it like a very interesting soundbite from Brett Bielema.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, throughout the season we do see some packages. But Dan, I think it was definitely getting UTSA to prepare for something that they're probably not going to see a lot of. So just to get them spending time on something other than, you know, the base offense is big for us, you know, because all minutes, seconds count when you're practicing, and especially on game week.
Yeah, the fact that he chose his words so specifically to say, oh yeah, Isaiah, you know, he happened to get one rep at practice last week at quarterback. Like, that is the ultimate gamesmanship to just throw UTSA's, you know, defensive staff into, you know, a last minute tizzy to see if they have to, you know, install some kind of sub packages to take care of a possible Isaiah Williams quarterback entrance. But I don't really think that's going to be the case. You know, hopefully Brandon's back in some capacity soon so that you aren't, because I think even just the mold of, you know, Brandon and Art as, you know, those bigger, kind of less mobile pocket passers, it works well for this offense. I mean, even you saw it with, now granted it was because Art was staring Isaiah down on a third and short and his pass got batted, but there's going to be a lot of those where if Isaiah Williams is back there trying to throw a pass, his passing lanes are not going to be quite there, and I don't really think they're going to get him on the move.
One other intriguing storyline, I guess, and you know, kind of led into it, the trickeration. It'll be interesting to see how well prepared UTSA is, because it is their first game of the year. But on the flip side of that, they're a very experienced team, maybe even more so than Illinois. They return, I believe, 11 starters on defense and 10 starters on offense. So these are all guys who have been out there, played together, and you know, they should be a pretty cohesive unit. It's just a matter of first game of the year, how well prepared are they going to be going out there. But once they get in the rhythm, I expect them to be pretty solid. It's just a matter of, can Illinois maybe attack them early and get to them before they can make their adjustments.
Yeah, and the longer you allow a team like this to think they have hope, you know, you're probably going to end up losing. That's why it's so important to come out and knock them in the face and, you know, put up quick points.
You love the phrase knocking them in the face, don't you?
Well, I don't know what else to use. That's podcast. I'm trying to keep this G-rated for all our listeners out there.
unlike some folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, unlike John, but no, it's the, you can't let UTSA have hope. And you got to come out and do your thing early on. And I think, you know, our offensive line, Doug Kramer, what, 19 and a half pancakes last week, which is incredible. They really have to control the game. Cause that's usually where you see an advantage. You know, skill players are power five, non-power five. Skill players are generally pretty much the same, maybe a tenth slower, inch shorter. The line is where you have the real big difference. So hopefully those guys will get going early and let them know what's up.
Explain this for the listeners, Mikey. What constitutes a half a pancake?
Well, hold on. Before you explain that, explain it to Dan. Pancake versus a knockdown. What's the difference?
It's the same thing, right?
I don't know. I thought a pancake was almost if you're like knocked down backwards versus just being knocked down kind of the side. Is that a complete fabrication that I've been thinking?
You know a
my
pancake when you see one.
Well, John, I think a half a pancake would be you doing it with someone else. Kind of like you get half a
sack.
Like a half.
Well, see, I didn't know if there was like a, if it was like a hybrid version of like you get a guy to his knees, but he's not fully on the ground. Like it's kind of a, it's like an eye stat. It's like a, it's not really something that's quite track. So it's not, it doesn't really matter. You can make up like a half pancake if you wanted to. I don't know.
It's like a silver dollar.
Yeah.
All right, so I guess we might have to do some research on that to see if there's a difference between a knockdown and pancake. But for some reason, I always thought those were two separate items. But 19 and a half knockdowns or pancakes, whatever we're going to call them, was, I think Bielema said it's the most he's seen in his coaching career, which is impressive for Dougie up the middle. And I hope he continues that trend, taking after his former left guard, Kendrick Green, who was the king of the pancake last year.
Yeah, I saw, speaking of Kendrick, I saw he's back on campus right now. He's hanging out in the locker room today, so I'm sure he'll be at the game.
Good leader for these guys, especially in the O-line with the experience of kind of what they need to do to make their way into the league. So it's good to see former players coming back to campus representing the university still. We'll see if Mikey gets back, maybe gets a call to come in and do a pregame speech in the locker room at some point. What do you think, Mikey?
I don't know. I mean, I would love to go back to a game. I don't know about the pregame speech. I don't know that I could, you know, get as rowdy as Coach Bielema, but definitely be back this fall. That's for sure.
If you're not doing the pregame speech, we might need you to give a pregame prediction, because if we flash back to last week, you were pretty much Nostradamus with your prediction. You said,
yep,
Mike Epstein. I will have to, give you a hard time because you said over 75 yards.
I was
going
to say, are we saying this is greater than or equal to 75 yards, or are we just saying greater than 75
well,
yards?
Over than 75 yards still could be.
He had 75.
Couldn't it still be 75? Doesn't that still.
No. That's what we're trying to figure out right now.
No, you said over 75 yards. What's over 75? 76. 75 is not over.
That.
75 is equal to 75. 75 is not greater than 75.
So I would add to say 70 over 74 to be correct.
Yes.
Listen, okay. I'll give it to you, Mikey. Danny Technicalities over here is trying trying to bust you.
I can't believe you were that 1 yard off, to be honest.
But wait till you hear my prediction for this week.
All right. Do you want to just? Well, hold on.
We need Mikey's specific stats of the week.
Let me give you at least credit too for the game score prediction where you were only off by like 2 points. Also,
yep.
30-22, and you said like 31-21 or something like that. So. I hope you're bringing the same heat and the same energy this week. So do you want to just jump right in with Mikey's specific stat of the week, your player prediction?
Yeah, I'll start with the player prediction. I think Isaiah Williams is going to go over 100 yards receiving.
Wow. Whoo.
And I'll say 107.
Okay.
He'll have
107
yards receiving.
107 exactly? Are we saying over 107?
No, I'm just putting an exact number on it.
Any rushing touchdowns?
No, because if he would get a touchdown, it's going to be that little flip in front of the quarterback, which counts as a receiving touchdown. Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. But I think he, you know, last week he played incredible, I thought. And for his first game at receiver, he's now going into week two with that much more confidence. And I'm sure they're going to be working, trying to get the ball to him more than they already did. So big week coming from Lil Uno.
107 yards from Lil Uno this week. You heard it here first. John, you want to jump in with your pick of the week?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Tariq Barnes. Obviously, we just talked about it. Calvin Hart no longer going to be able to be available for the defense this year, and
that hurts.
You know, you never want to see that from a guy who flashed so much in his first game. But I'm definitely looking for Tariq Barnes to step up. You know, he's flashed well in his time as an Illini, and you know, to be quite honest, I thought that he could have been a starter this year, just going into camp before they added Mr. Hart. But I think that he, you know, acquitted himself pretty well in terms of his performance stepping in on Saturday, and I look for him to. I mean, it's going to be a lot of instinct, a lot of discipline in terms of, you know, keeping Frank Harris in front of him and making sure that he's, you know, playing sideline to sideline. But I think he can take care of business for sure.
I like it. I'm going to jump in with my pick of the week, and that's going to be the dancing man, Daniel Barker. I think he didn't have, I don't think, a single catch last week. He performed pretty admirably in the blocking game. I think he's going to continue that, but I think they're going to try to look to get him involved with the tight ends this week. So I'm looking for him to have, maybe I'll try to be a mini Mikey specific stat of the week. I'm going to say 5 catches, and I'll say 64 yards and a touchdown.
Okay. And a touchdown
for Daniel Barker this week. So that's my pick to click. I want to see one touchdown dance.
You heard it here first. What do you think his dance move will be?
What's hot in the streets
now? TikTok dance?
Yeah.
Probably.
I don't know what the kids are dancing to right now. I have to check in on TikTok and find the trend. I will say, the thought of this too late, but Luke Ford, next time he scores a touchdown, we're tweeting out a Ford Fiesta vehicle, because the boys are going to be having a party in the end zone.
Ooh, I like that.
What do you think? Or, I mean, there's different Ford. We could do a Ford Escape for something, maybe a Ford Fusion.
So many Ford. An Explorer, an Florida Expedition.
Yeah. We just got to start tweeting out just a picture of a Ford Fiesta.
Just a Ford car.
Yeah, every time he does something until people are like, wait, what is this?
Yeah, we just have a different classification of what a Ford, like a catch for 10 yards is a certain kind of Ford. a pancake is one, a knockdown is another.
Yeah.
Just getting all specific with the Luke Ford graphics.
But no need for that this week, because Daniel Barker is going to have the tight end touchdown. So Luke Ford, yeah. Great game last week. Hope he continues it, but I'm riding Daniel Barker for my pick. All right, Mikey, do you think you can provide a score prediction? I know I'm going to go out on a limb and say you like the Illini to win this week.
I do. You know, I originally wanted to go 41-17, but I feel like 17 points, something about the number 17 just wasn't sitting well with me. So I'm going to go 41-24 Illini.
Okay, so you see a pretty high scoring game.
Yeah, and I think you know, that's UTSA's first game, you know, our second game. You know, I think the defensive side of the ball is going to be struggling early before, you know, those guys can get it going. So yes, high scoring game, but Illini come out victorious.
It's hilarious that you say that, Mikey, about 17 not feeling right, because I'm going to pick the Illini to win 27-17. Because I was thinking that's just the right, like, you know, we'll give them one field goal, maybe a couple touchdowns, we'll see what's up. But yeah, I think the boys go out there and take care of business. Even if they hadn't played last week, obviously the scheme that Ryan Walters had thought up, you know, worked very well. But that confidence that I have, seeing how they took care of a somewhat mobile quarterback like Adrian Martinez, and how they can apply that to Frank Harris, makes me very confident they can go out there and take care of business as well against the Roadrunners.
All right. Well, I'm going to change it up this week, because last week I was on the wrong side. I said Illinois was going to lose by 2 scores, and they came out and proved me wrong, which was awesome. I'm tempted to just say that again, just to see if I can
just do that every week.
Trick them into it.
Fade Danny.
Hashtag fade Danny. But I'm kind of liking Illinois this week. And I think, to me, I mean, Vegas has the line, like we said, at 5 points. I feel like a lot of people are talking about UTSA, and they're kind of a popular upset pick this week, and I kind of like fading the popular upset pick, which is why I'm kind of talk myself into Illinois here, and I think Illinois will put up a pretty solid game on offense. I think their defense will be, again, pretty stout this week, and I see it as 31-17 Illinois.
So you guys like that 17 number?
Yeah, as much as you dislike it.
The both of us love it.
Were you number 18 in your playing days because you disliked the number 17 so much, or what? You don't like being one of the 17, one of Robert's 17?
It was either number 18 or a number in the 80s, so I chose 18.
You're not about the receivers in the 80s? You don't like that?
No, what number would you have been?
I wanted to be, like, if I could pick any.
Yeah.
3, but my man John Davis had that. And then when he left, my parents and family, they already had like 18 jerseys. Uh-huh. So I didn't want to switch jerseys on them.
Especially with no NIL, you're not getting any cut of that. So it's just out of your parents' pocket.
Had you been
getting paid for those jerseys, you could just pull a switch mid-year and then people just buy a second jersey and you pocket all that extra money. That would have been sweet.
Yep.
If you had to pick a number in the 80s, though, you said it was 18 or something in the 80s, what would you have ended up with? 81, because it's the inverse of 18?
No, I think I would have taken 83 for Welker.
No.
Oh, I was going to say, 83 isn't a super popular number, but I like that.
Neither is 18.
True.
Mikey Black Sheep.
Yes.
All right, so those are the predictions. Mikey's got Isaiah Williams for 107 yards specifically. He goes 108. You know, I'll be the first one tweeting that out, letting Mikey know that he was wrong.
Yep.
I'll take this moment to plug John's work on our YouTube channel. He put together a defense and special teams full video breakdown, every play from the game, in both defense and special teams. He's working on an offensive breakdown. So if you're a football film junkie and want to get the full film room experience, head on over to our YouTube channel. We tweet it out, and so you can find it on our Twitter feed, but just search The Field Pass on YouTube and you'll be able to find that.
I do want to say one thing. Dan, you mentioned like if someone's a football junkie, even if you're not, I think it's an easy way to watch something because John does a good job of dummying down, you know, reasoning behind plays, why something happened. So it's a good place to go too if you just want to try to, you know, understand more about the game if you don't know a lot about it already. So go check it out.
Appreciate the kind words from both of you. Honestly, it's like, you know, it was a bit of a not a hassle, but it was interesting learning how to like edit video, but it's something that I've been wanting to do now for a long time. So it's, you know, nice little passion project that I, you know, have a bit of a base for, and I'm just looking forward to getting as much content out there for anyone who's looking to watch some film. And yeah, like you were saying, Mikey, even just like people, if you're kind of a casual fan, it's not so dense that you wouldn't know what's going on. So yeah, just hop on over to YouTube and give us a, you know, the classic, the like, subscribe, comment down below, all that good jazz.
And two last notes on that point. You'll see the green static. We're aware of that. We're working on it. Take this as our walkthrough. This wasn't supposed to be
week zero.
First game. This was week zero, first film out there. So we'll fix the green static and we'll make some of those text boxes longer so you don't have to smash the pause button to read John's paragraphs when he gives us the full breakdown. So we appreciate the feedback. Let us know too in the comments, or feel free to send us a message. We're open to hearing what people think.
They could be good things as well,
good and bad, but you know, a lot of hours went into that, and John's hopefully going to continue those throughout the course of the season. So stay tuned to that. Like John said, hit the subscribe button, give us a like, leave us a comment, whatever you want to do. Send us a message and we'll be responsive to that. But as usual, you can find us on other social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, same name under The Field Pass. Hopefully we'll be back with another post-victory recap at the start of next week. Thanks for listening. Go Illini.